ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8, The Character of Bharat Maharaj, Verse Number 18. So I will just read the Sanskrit verse. Api cha na vrikka shala vrikka को अन्यतमो वा नैक चर एक चरो वा बक्षति। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग अपि च और न नॉट वृक अ वुल्फ शाल वृक अ डॉग Anyatama, any one of many, va or na ekachara, the hawks that flock together, ekachara, the tiger that wanders alone, va or bhakshati, is eating the poor creature. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation: I do not know, but the deer might have been eaten by a wolf or a dog or by the boars that flock together, or the tiger who travels alone. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Tigers never wander in the forest in flocks. Each tiger wanders alone, but forest boars keep together. Similarly, hogs, wolves and dogs also do the same. Thus, Maharaj Bharat thought that the deer had been killed by some of the many ferocious animals within the forest. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya चक्षु उन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8, Verse 18, Translation. I do not know, but the deer might have been eaten by a wolf or a dog or by the boars that flock together or the tiger who travels alone.
Hare Krishna.
So we are reading this story of attachment. How a living entity undergoes various experiences and events when the living entity is attached to a particular sense object. In the story of Bharat Maharaj, there is only one deer, and this all is happening. We have so many dear ones. We can imagine what all is happening with us. But we think we are better than Bharat Maharaj. Uske jaise to humne nahi kiya. But there are too many dears, too many attachments, which we don't even know. A person who doesn't even know his disease seems to be better than the person who knows his disease. But actually, one who doesn't know his disease, he can't even start the cure. Right? So this attachment, a living entity is attached to so many objects. These are called sense objects. Even the attachment to people is also called sense object. Because from the viewpoint of a jiva, that person is also a sense object, because it is source of his happiness or joy, sukha, or source of his sense gratification. So when a sense object comes in contact with our senses, then an invisible bond gets developed. An invisible thread is attached. So this invisible bond developed between the senses and the sense object is called attachment. And this attachment is reflected in I, me, my, and mine. In Hindi they call it main or mera. English is too much. It becomes four, double. Western culture is like that. All problems become double. So this invisible bond created between the sense and sense objects is so strong that even so-called material powers, huge powers, huge strong forces are incapable to cut this. A king's power, a military commander's power, a politician's power, or a wealthy man's power is very small in front of this strong attachment. And why is the jiva, the living entity, attached to sense objects? Because there is hope in the heart that this particular sense object will give me pleasure, will give me happiness, enjoyment, joy, sukha. So because of that hope that this contact will give me happiness, a living entity gets attached to that object. Now from where does this happiness come? Suppose you eat nice gulab jamun. Will you feel happy? Just by hearing we get happiness. Ah, gulab jamun. So from where does this happiness comes? Does this come from gulab jamun? No. Anybody knows gulab jamun recipe? What are the ingredients? Tell me. Who knows? Maida, mawa, sugar, ghee, etc. If you don't know, you just say etc. Simple life. Or three dots anyway. So, but where is happiness? A person who prepares gulab jamun, how much kg happiness he puts in that? Nothing. He doesn't put happiness in that. But as soon as that gulab jamun touches our tongue, we get happiness. We don't get maida, sugar, ghee. We get happiness in the heart. So if happiness is not inside the gulab jamun, where is it? It is already inside. What is inside is desire. The desire to eat gulab jamun. So as soon as gulab jamun comes on my tongue, my desire is fulfilled. And because my desire is fulfilled, I am happy. If I do not desire to eat gulab jamun some fine day because of diabetes, and somebody jabardasti puts on my tongue, I will not be happy. Same gulab jamun, same sweet. So this is an example. This is for all sense objects. We have desire in our heart. The desire is what? Desire is not of gulab jamun or samosa. That is not the desire. The desire is of enjoyment. The desire is of enjoyment. And for my human form of life, I have a different set of sense objects. It may be gulab jamun, it may be ice cream. This is my sense object or many other things. Now you take the same gulab jamun and put it in the mouth of a pig. He will say, wow, so nice feast today. No, he will not be happy because his sense object is different. Or give to a lion. Tell him, don't eat meat today. Eat gulab jamun today. He will not be happy. So every species, and within every species, every individual person has different set of sense objects. My sense object may not be your sense object. I may be running behind one object and another person may be feeling, what nonsense is this? He is running behind this object. This is not good. This is better. And he is running behind some other object. That is called conditioning life. Every conditioned soul, conditioned means not natural. Every conditioned soul is conditioned, is bound in this material world by this invisible thread called attachment. Attached to sense objects, hoping that this sense object will give me happiness. And how many such threads are there? Unlimited. Uncountable. Why? Because there are uncountable sense objects. Even one sense, just for the example, tongue. If we just think about our tongue and all list all the items we want to eat, how many there will be? So many. And we have five sense objects. All the five powerful. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the skin. They all have their own sense objects. And there are multiple desires in the heart. We want to achieve contact with these sense objects through our senses. So every sense is attached to multiple, many, many sense objects. And like this there are so many desires of possessing sense objects or enjoying sense objects. So Bharat Maharaj has made deer as his deer. He has developed affection for one deer. And we see the attachment he has developed it so strong. And what is the enjoyment here? He said, I am the protector of the deer. This is my deer. Under my shelter. It's me. If I am not there, who will take care of this deer? How many deers might be there in that forest? So many. But he is taking care only of one deer. Other deers, who is taking care? Huh? Krishna. But one deer, I will take care. This is me. My deer. This deer is dependent on me. Other deers, I don't know whom they are dependent. But this deer is dependent on me. If I don't take care, this deer will die. Other deers, they will survive without me. So Bharat Maharaj is so much attached to this conception of I am the maintainer. I am the responsible caretaker. As I said, mine. It may be some other animal. It may be some other object. So this is the attachment. And this attachment, which is so strong, it has given rise now to fear. Fear of losing attachment. When there is an attachment to an object, and if that object is giving happiness, then as soon as that happiness is experienced, with that we experience fear and anxiety. Fear of what? Chala gaya to. I have it now. Till I do not have, I have hankering. I want it. As soon as I have, chala gaya to, if it leaves me. So then the whole security system comes in place. Thousands of millions of dollars are spent for what? For security. Securing what? Our sense objects. Nobody should steal it, take it, or they should not leave me. So as soon as a person possesses sense object, another problem starts of securing sense objects. And with that there is an experience of fear, anxiety, worry, negative thoughts, restlessness. Right? This is everybody's experience. With one sense object, so many things happen. With hundreds of sense objects, how many things will happen? That is how we are in the mesh. Don't even know. So many sense objects we are in contact. So much security problems we have. So in this verse, Bharat Maharaj is experiencing the fear of losing sense object. Actually, this fear is not of losing sense object. This fear is of losing our happiness. Suppose a person is drowning in a river. No help. And suddenly he gets a log of wood. What will he do? He will catch it. And he'll also develop a fear of losing that log. It is not fear of losing the log. He can go and buy hundreds of logs. But what is fear? Fear is of death. Fear is of losing life. Not that log. At this point of time, his life is dependent on this log. So actual fear is fear of death. Everybody has. Actual fear is losing life. So the fear which Bharat Maharaj is experiencing now is fear of losing that deer, which is actually fear of losing enjoyment. When a person dies, everybody cries. Why? Because they lost a near and dear one. What actually they lost is the sense enjoyment which they are hoping to achieve from that near and dear one. That is what is fear. So this whole world is under this fear. Very powerful. Fear is very powerful. A person can commit unimaginable, gross, sinful activities just to overcome his fear. There is a very popular saying, power corrupts. You heard this? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. This is not true. Krishna is so powerful. He is absolutely powerful. He is corrupted absolutely. Prabhupada is so powerful. He is corrupt. Vyasadeva is so powerful. He is corrupt. Lord Shiva is so powerful. He is corrupt. No. But then why in material world this is applicable? It is applicable to those people who have power and who have fear of losing power. So the actual understanding is fear of losing power corrupts. Power in itself does not corrupt. But when I have power plus I have fear, what fear? That kurchi chala jayega. When I have power and I have fear of losing power, then I'll misuse the same power to keep myself on the power, to keep myself on the throne. Kamsa, of course, is asura. No doubt about it. But he was so affectionate to Devaki. So much so that he was riding Devaki's chariot, Vasudev and Devaki's chariot. He became sarthi, driver of his own sister and brother-in-law, Jijaji. That yes, I will take you to your new home. Right? That is how Krishna book starts. I mean that chapter. But when Kamsa heard about his own death, what happened? He developed fear. And because he developed this fear of losing, he became corrupt. He tried to kill Devaki. He put Ugrasen in the jail, prison, and he killed so many children. You can imagine a big king, what? Kamsa has power of thousands of elephants. But his whole 11 years from that Akashvani to the point he got killed, he lived in fear. And out of that fear, he did so abominable activities, including killing children. Not children, infants. Just born babies. So that was fear. So fear of losing power corrupts. And from where is this fear born? This fear born out of attachment of power. If I am attached to an object, I will have fear of losing that object. So this fear is born out of attachment. And this attachment is born out of desire to enjoy. Everybody has this desire to enjoy, conditioning life, which gives rise to attachment and which gives rise to fear. And that fear gives rise to corruption or sinful activities. And when a person performs sin or papa, then he gets reaction. He gets another birth in a lower species. And there again the cycle of enjoyment, attachment, fear, sin continues. And one more birth, and one more birth. And before you even realize, you are completely in the cycle, in the whirlpool of birth and death. That is called material entanglement. or material bondage or davanal, the fire, forest fire of material enjoyment. This is so automatic. This happens with everybody. Senses are so powerful. This very material nature is made like that. So because of this fear, there are so many events in one's life in which his intelligence does not seemingly work. We may know, I should not do this. But fear generates in the heart. Suppose you are driving a bike and a traffic cop catches you and you are on the wrong side. Immediately the fear will come, and from fear lies will come. Some excuse I have to give. Bhai bimar hai, jaldi jana hai hospital. Right? Immediately it will happen. Naturally. Some excuse will come. Some lies, some strategy, some falsity. Or anybody catches us with anything which we don't want to expose ourselves, which is secret for us. Immediately some falsity will come out. The truthfulness will break. And this fear is, everybody is under the grip of fear. If nothing, then birth, death, old age, disease. Fear of disease, fear of old age, fear of death. And now we have so much fears. Fear of stock market. Everybody is having fearing when, if this crash, what will happen. Fear of losing job. Fear of flood. Fear of tsunami. Fear of earthquake. Everywhere there is metal detectors. Fear of bomb. X-ray machines. Security covers. Bodyguards. Commandos. Fear of everything. Fear of wife. Everywhere there is fear. If I earn, she will take away. Children will take away. This is fear. It's part and parcel of staying in the material world. Bhaya. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the first quality of sadhu, abhaya. Fearless. Seems to be completely opposite to our experience in this material world. But that is only possible when we come in contact with Krishna. Bhagavatam, it says, even fear personified is fearful of Krishna. See this? Dar bhi Bhagwan se darta hai. Even fear personified is fearful of Krishna. So instead of living a life of fear, we should live a life of surrender to Krishna. If Krishna is near, no fear. Clear? So, when we are close to Krishna, then we do not fear. That is how a life of devotee should progress. Progress more and more closer to Krishna. More and more near to Krishna. Then we will be less and less fearful. Dangers will be there. Not that dangers will not be there. Don't think because I am chanting 16 rounds, so there will be no problem, no danger. Mosquitoes will not bite me, but mosquitoes will bite others. I am sitting and with devotees in the, with other passengers in the train, a mosquito comes, he says, oh, Tilaka, I will not bite him, I will bite this fellow passenger. No, no. Danger, accident, everything is going to be there as every other person in the material world experiences. We are not going to have a separate experience in the same world. But what is going to happen is, we will have protection. A soul surrendered to Krishna, even though appearing to be the same situation, will have protection. Prabhupada gives example of Anath and Sanath. An Anath dog in the street and a dog with a belt. Both are loitering in the street and eating their dustbins. But one is without protection. Municipality can come and do anything. Other is with protection. What with protection? Because he has kanti mala. This is dog's belt. This means we are telling Maya, look, I have one protector. I am Sanat. I have one Nath. He is Krishna. So don't touch me. No entry. Red signal. So this is protection. So biggest danger, biggest problem, we have Krishna. He will take care of us. This is not just psychological faith. This is not just to induce sentimentally somebody to keep him peaceful. This is truth of life. That when Krishna is there, there is no fear. And we get Krishna, how do we get connected to Krishna? By hearing. When we hear, then Krishna is near. So by hearing we come in contact with Krishna. So when a person hears Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, then he gets connected to Krishna. He develops faith on Krishna. He develops conviction. And then this fear goes away. Krishna protects his devotees. There are so many examples in the scriptures that Krishna protects his devotees. In the whole history of this universe, there is not a single example where Krishna has failed to protect his devotees. See this? Any time you heard? Even from atheist people you heard Krishna didn't protect you or one devotee? So many people challenge us so many times. Mayavadis, impersonalists, atheists, Buddhists, X, Y, Z, there are so many scientists. But nobody has up till now claimed that, see, your God didn't protect his devotee. Because there is no such example. So why a new example like that will happen now? It will not happen. Krishna will not decrease his brand value like this. So Krishna continues to protect his devotees. So one should be having that faith, that conviction, that if I go to Krishna, he will protect me. He will take care of me. He will help me. He will give me intelligence and strength to overcome my problems. We may feel a big problem, but for Krishna is so small. Right? So they say, instead of going to Krishna and say, my dear Lord, I have a big problem. You go to problem and say, I have big Krishna. The problem will run away. Krishna is so powerful. Wherever there is Krishna, there is no Maya. Wherever there is light, there is no darkness. So we have to overcome fear of our own maintenance, our own protection, defense, our own fear. But of course, in sadhana, we should have two fears, good fears. Fear of Vaishnava Aparad, that fear will protect us. And fear of Maya, never play with Maya. Just try karke dekhu, khatam ho jayega, fry ho jayega. Never play with Maya. In fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Mother Devaki is fearful of Kamsa, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, this is nice fear. Because when a living entity in devotional service is fearful of material nature, Kamsa represents material nature, Devaki represents devotee, then that same fear kills six sons of Devaki. Kamsa kills six sons of Devaki. That same fear kills six anarthas. What are the six anarthas? Lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, envy. These six anarthas are wiped out by fear. Which fear? Fear of material nature. Just as Kamsa kills the six sons of Marichi who appear from Devaki's womb, so in the same way the six sons of mind, the six anarthas of mind are killed by material fear. When a devotee fears the association of material nature or the association of materialistic people, and when that happens, then in the pure heart Krishna takes birth, as in pure womb of Devaki Krishna appeared after Balram, after Sankarsan. So this fear is good. Fear of Vaishnava Aparadha and fear of association with materialistic person. In fact, again and again in scriptures it is instructed, do not associate with non-devotees. What is that? A Vaishnav Sangha Tyaga, Asat Sangha Tyaga, A Vaishnav Achar. Achar means characteristic behavior. Who is a Vaishnava? One who doesn't associate with devotees. See, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defined. This characterizes a devotee. That is away from non-devotees. I don't want your association. I don't want any benefit from you. I don't want any advice from you. Be away. 20 kilometer dur raho thoda. Be away. So the fear of fear of materialistic association and fear of Vaishnava Aparadha, this keeps a devotee cautious. This keeps a devotee not falling down in Maya. So one should be fearful of these things. Whatever stage of sadhana one is, one should be fearful from Maya. No experiments with Maya. Check it out. Dekh lete hain ek bar. Ek bar experience kar lete hain. That is sufficient. That is sufficient dangerous situation. So this is how attachment gives rise to fear. And when one surrenders to Krishna, this fear is overcome. But we have to overcome not just fear, we have to overcome this attachment. But mind requires attachment. Mind cannot be without attachment. So the only solution is we should be attached to Krishna. And again that comes by hearing, chanting, serving. So when one follows Shravanam Kirtanam, the process of devotional service, then one gets attached to Krishna. Then life is peaceful. This fear also gives rise to anxiety. Bharat Maharaj is very anxious now. Worry. What will happen if a tiger eats the deer, or the wolf eats, or the jackal eats, or together some animals attack, or he falls down from the cliff, or he is in danger. This is called worry, anxiety. All this is imagination. This has not happened. Tiger has not ate the deer. Wolves have not ate the deer. He has not fallen from the cliff. But all this is imagination. It doesn't exist. But that anxiety is real. It is like paying interest of that money which you have not borrowed. Doesn't exist, but still you are worrying in the heart. Like if some child goes to school and comes late, out of affection mother will start worrying. Kya ho gaya? What happened? Kuch ho gaya? Band ho gaya? Bus nahi aaya? Accident ho gaya? And son comes and says, Mummy, I was playing football. This is okay. Love and affection is there. But that unnecessary worry, unnecessary stress, that causes us too much difficulty, too much miserable situation in the heart, burning situation in the heart. So one should have faith on Krishna. Krishna will protect. So Bharat Maharaj's anxiety for the deer's welfare was so much that he almost became mad. We'll see in subsequent verses, out of this anxiety he left his body thinking of the deer. That attachment is so strong. Attachment to Krishna is a solution to all these problems. In fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description of three classes of devotees, Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama. And the variable, the difference is on attachment. First class attachment, second class attachment, third class attachment. Asakti. Attachment to Krishna means that we cannot live without Krishna. Attachment to Krishna just doesn't mean I like Krishna. Attachment to Krishna means in Krishna's absence I cannot live. See, there is ruchi and asakti. Ruchi for rasgulla means if rasgulla is there, I will eat it. If it is not there, fine. Asakti for rasgulla means if it is not there, I will find it. So attachment is more on the higher side. Attachment to Krishna. So when one develops first class attachment, highest attachment is Uttama. He cannot be deviated from the path. Even if such dangers come on the path, there will be dangers on the path of bhakti. It is not cakewalk. There will be dangers. There will be obstacles. There will be challenges. But one should be courageous. Courageous to continue without interruption that yes, Krishna is there. He will take care of me. He will help me. He will give me intelligence. Tadami buddhi yogam. He will give me strength to overcome these challenges and make me more and more stronger in His service. So with that conviction, one should continue. In spite of so many obstacles, in spite of so many failures, in spite of so many dangers, in spite of so many challenges, one should continue. That is courage. That is bravery. And such a person, 100% gets success. We see in the life of so many devotees. They are glorified because in spite of challenges and dangers, they continued their bhakti. And the classic example is Prahlad Maharaj. Every lecture his example comes. Because it's a classic example of such courage, such faith in devotional service. So this is how one should try to develop more attachment to Krishna. And as I said, it happens by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavad Gita. In third canto, Kapila Muni describes to Devuti all this story of sense enjoyment. And he tells Mother Devuti, the living entity should give up. Give up these sense enjoyments and achieve liberation. And Mother Devuti says, wait a minute. You are talking of giving up sense objects, but I think it is impossible. She says, just as earth cannot give up aroma. Earth and aroma, we can't separate. Flower and fragrance, we can't separate. Similarly, the senses cannot give up sense objects. They are too close. Fevicol ka jode. Niklega nahi. The sense and the sense objects are so much attached. And this is true. As soon as you see a eatable and you don't get a thought of eating. As soon as we see a flower, we don't get thought of smelling. As soon as we see a CD, we don't get thought of hearing. That is what Kapila Muni is talking about. It's too much. Too difficult. So Mother Devuti says, how this will be possible? The senses and sense objects are very, very close, tight, bound. Not Hriday Granthi. Very closed. And Lord Kapila, he expresses his agreement. Yes, this is difficult. But he says, this is possible. How this is possible? He says, by two ways. By prolonged hearing, prolong, not long, prolong, long time, hearing. What hearing? By me and about me. Kapila Muni says, by me means Bhagavad Gita, about me means Bhagavatam. So by prolonged hearing, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, from whom? From sadhus. From my pure devotees, from my pure representatives, by prolonged hearing, this attachment will fade away. This attachment will go. Seems to be impossible, but it will go.
Why it will go? Because Krishna's katha is very powerful. Krishna's Harinam changed Mighari, changed Ajamil's life. There are so many examples. It's so powerful. In front of that, our attachment, the mountains of our attachment is very small. Especially in Kali Yuga, Nam Nam Akari Bauda Nija Sarva Shakti, all powers has been invested in Krishna's holy name. So if you chant Krishna's holy name, then big mountain of sins and attachment will collapse in no time. Just like a small dynamite can blow up a whole mountain. Or a small bullet can kill a big person, an elephant. Similarly, this appears to be a small activity, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, even a child can do. But that's all, it's so powerful. That holy name is so powerful that can blow up so much attachment and sinful reactions which we can't even imagine to commit. Just like in the night it is so dark, thousands of candles or tube lights we burn, the darkness will not go. But early morning, one ray of sun can kill the whole darkness. Whole deep darkness can be killed just by one ray of sun. And as more rays appear on this planet, we see everything clearly. So one holy name, one mercy of Krishna can kill the whole darkness of our heart. Doesn't require lots of hard work or tapasya in the forest or mantra chanting in the yajna or big worship of the Lord in the temple. Doesn't require. That is the benefit of Kali Yuga. So one should very firmly, with firm faith, with great conviction, chant the holy names of Krishna, serve Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, that yes, this is the only process by which I can come out of this darkness. So here one more point is that Bharat Maharaj is thinking either ek chara, animals who stay alone, or what is that? Na ek chara, animals who stay together, they may have killed deer. Now why do animals have this propensity? Some animals stay alone, tiger, cheetah, or wolves, they stay alone. There are some who stay in flock also. But cows, elephants, and rabbits, deer, they stay together. Why is this propensity? This is because of meat eating. In general, those animals who eat meat, they don't stay together. Because as soon as they come together, they will fight. But those who eat grass, even big elephants, have you seen any herd, two elephants fought? No, they stay together very peaceful. This is secret of joint family. If we eat meat, we cannot have joint family. More than that, meat is mode of passion. And Prabhupada says, until the country stop eating meat, there will be wars in the society. So we can very safely predict World War III. Because meat eating is there, so World War III will happen, World War IV will happen, World War V will happen, World War XI will happen, everything will happen. Why? Because society is consuming meat. Wherever meat is consumed, violence is happening, innocent animals are killed, there people will fight with each other. Mode of passion means anger, hatred, desire. Wherever there is anger, hatred, desire, there will be fights. So if one wants to have loving relationships, he should be away from violence. Violence just doesn't mean no meat eating. That is one form of it. Violence means not obstructing others' growth. That is violence. If we attempt to obstruct others' growth, especially spiritual growth, if we do that, that is violence. Even material growth, that is violence. So if one does violence, that is, he is breaking the first regulative principle, no meat eating. So one should be away. Hinsa, violence, one should be away from it. So till there is meat eating, till there is violence to animals, there will be violence to humans. If a person kills animals, one day he'll kill human. Because that same mentality is there, that is mode of passion. So this is one reason of ekachara and na ekachara in general. That those animals who eat flesh, it's difficult for them to stay together. As soon as they come together, they fight. Two dogs will come to one dustbin, they will fight. 10 cows will come to one field, they will not fight. They will just eat, munch. They will not fight, they will go away. But dogs cannot share dustbins. So that is fight, that is always like that. So if we want to avoid this nature of fighting, violence, mode of passion, then we should be away from meat, we should be away from eatables which are in mode of passion. In fact, one should eat only prasad. So then the heart becomes pure. So that is one reason why there are flocks of animals and single animals. This is because they keep on fighting. Kali Yuga is also like that, full of quarrel and hypocrisy. Not easy to attain a status where there is no fighting. Our heart is never peaceful. Peace is always into pieces. So it is very important that one puts endeavor. And that endeavor is tolerance and forgiveness. If something happens to us, we should tolerate it. And we should forgive the person. Instead of anger and revenge. If you are angry, we are revengeful, usne aisa kiya to mujhe bhi aisa karna chahiye, then neither that person will be peaceful nor we will be peaceful. So for our own peace, forget the other person, for our own peace, one should tolerate, one should forgive. And that is mode of goodness. By that one expands his consciousness. One becomes dear to Krishna. Krishna is happy with a person who tolerates, who forgives. All the distress in our life which we experience, the miseries, come because of our karma. They don't come because ABC want to give us distress. ABC gives us distress because our karma is mature. So when karma is mature, it will come through people near us. If suppose today 2 PM in the afternoon, I am supposed to get some misery, some dukkha, because of my previous karma, then if I am in the temple, somebody will tell me something. If I am on the road, a car will hit me. If I am in bathroom, I will slip on water. Then I say, kisne pani giraya idhar? Or daily there is water, but today only I slipped. Because at 2 PM my karma is mature. So I don't have to blame the car or this or that person. It's because of my previous karma this has happened. If my karma is not there and somebody attempts to disturb me, his attempt will be a failure. Because of his attempt, he makes his new karma, that is separate. But his attempt will be failure if my karma is not there. So one should tolerate that this karma, this distress, this pain is because of my own karma. This is called responsibility of pain. When one takes responsibility of his own pain, then he can very easily tolerate. Suppose in the house, one naughty child playing breaks a glass. Then mother will get angry. So many times I told you, don't play in this room, go down. She will get angry because he broke the glass. But suppose while cleaning, mother breaks the glass. What will she do? Just remove all the glasses and be quiet. She will not get angry. Why? Because I did it. Nobody gets angry on oneself. Tolerate. If I do, I tolerate. If others do, I react. So if my pain I know is because of me, then I will tolerate. Because already I am in pain. What more punishment I will give myself? I will not give. So already I am in pain, so I will tolerate. And we forgive others. So that person can tolerate who knows this responsibility of pain. I am responsible for my own pain. And Lord Brahma says, that one who tolerates his miseries, thinking it is his past deeds, and at the same time continues to pay obeisances to Krishna, what happens to this person? He inherits the kingdom of God, Dayabhak. As a son inherits the property of father, when the father dies, so the devotee who tolerates and serves Krishna, he inherits the kingdom of God when the devotee dies. What does the son has to do to inherit the father's property? Just be alive. Shumai, what does the devotee has to do to inherit liberation? Just tolerate. Just go with it. And serve Krishna. Then he inherits the kingdom of God. Such a great opportunity we have. How many years more we will live? And out of that, how many miserable experiences we will have? 40, 50 years more? 60 years more? Out of that, 100, 200 miserable experiences. Rest our life is nice. So these 100 miserable experiences, if we tolerate and continue to chant and serve Krishna, we will go back home, back to God. That is the opportunity we have. So we should very seriously and nicely consider this opportunity and continue to serve Krishna. Okay, we will end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, we can take. Yeah. Mike.
Suppose when a person becomes Uttamadhikari, does he need the outside help of Guru and Shastra, Grantha? Because he establishes the direct contact with Paramatma, he is able to understand the voice of Paramatma in a liberated condition, being Uttamadhikari. Then the role of Guru and Grantha is redundant for him?
No. A person, however great he may be, he is always dependent. Nobody is independent. So we are always dependent on the mercy and ashirvad, blessings of spiritual master, parampara, acharyas and Lord Shri Krishna. One cannot claim to practice devotional service alone. That is what Bharat Maharaj is teaching us. Bharat Maharaj is already on such a high platform. And if there were some association with Bharat Maharaj, probably such things may not have happened. Even if a new bhakta was there, this would not have happened. Guru is a separate, definitely Guru will be there, this will not happen. Even if a new bhakta is there, in front of him, how will he miss his rounds, you know? He'll say, Prabhu, you're not chanting. So one cannot be independent. One cannot be independent of the mercy. It is not like that I have to climb the terrace on the steps. Once I climb the terrace, I'll throw the steps. Guru is not step. Guru is with us always. We don't have to throw him. So one serves Krishna always with the mercy of Guru.
In case of Bharat Maharaj, the premature change of ashram is also responsible. Can we say like that?
No. It is not premature.
No, 24.
Bharat Maharaj,
at the very young age, he...
No. What we have to learn from here is this, that attachments are very strong, one should be cautious and careful, and one should always be in association of devotees.
Thank you.
Bharat Maharaj was well-trained brahmachari, well-trained grahastha, emperor, and very well he renounced. Otherwise, if it was premature, he would not reach such a high stage. He will lose his enthusiasm. A premature renunciation, a person will lose his enthusiasm very quickly. Okay? This was accident. Yeah. Any more questions?